Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky on a fairly calm Wednesday evening. We had storms earlier. Let's hope they don't come back. But I'm ready for a great show tonight, a double feature. And yes, and you can hear that on the microphone because Holly is breaking in a new headset. She did get a new phone. It is a good phone. It is a really good one. But Holly is with us tonight from the get-go, and also the one, the only, Dark Style, Daniel Dark. So good evening, my friends. Ready to go.
I am. I have misplaced my glasses, so I won't be in the chat room until I find them, but I have a Bluetooth headset on, so I am wandering around looking. Live radio at its finest.
We can hear you breathing. That's why you're motoring around here. But
that's why I'm breathing hard.
All right. Well, that's a solvable tech issue, which is always good news on the show here because we've had some adventures before. None so much as the night we had the transformer blow on the night that Bridget Nelson was with us. And, we're working out a return visit for her right now. I just want you to know, folks. And hopefully you followed up on last week's episode with Back to Bluegrass, the anthology project that Chazity Bowen and a couple other Kentucky authors are spearheading. Great project. Chat room is working and open. Hello to Diana Bazork, who's the first to join us tonight in the chat room. She at Cottage Core Creations is actually selling blankets, American flag blankets, beautiful crocheted blankets, and proceeds from that are going to the flood victims in Kentucky. Check that out. And then while you're also over there, definitely check out her Stranger Things designs, Betty Munson 11 and Demo Gorgon stuff. So, yes, and no, we didn't get paid by Diana to do that. I did. That's free, Diana, so there you go. But we're ready to go. We're going to have a double feature tonight later, two guests, so as we understand it. So it should be a fun adventure. One of the guests, I mean, you can probably just listen to him talk all night because he's got an award-winning voice, but we're going to have fun. It's going to be great.
Yes.
But I'm glad we're all here tonight. Holly's back. She had that phone run over by the semi, but now she's got a state-of-the-art Galaxy 22 Ultra, thanks to the previous phone being insured. A stroke of genius, and I was able to do that when I got our account, our new two phones on our account before. I did get them insured, thank God. So yes, it does have a new one, and it's
it's costing me an arm and a leg to get my data transferred. It's a whole other ordeal.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, but we're having to transfer data.
Back up your data, people. Back up your data.
Yeah.
Make sure that it's checked in the Samsung. Like, back it up because if you have Android, because they don't automatically check that unless you're a techie person and actually know to do it. Like the people said that when the cell phone place, they said, "Why would you even look for that? You know, you're not going to know to do that." So. They turned it on this new phone I got, so I won't have this problem again. But, you know, where it got ran over by the semi, the screen is obviously incapable of use, so we can't say, yes, you know, transfer the data or use a wireless or anything. So Yeah, they had to order a new screen, and but I have to put that on, and yeah, it's just an ordeal.
Yeah,
but I'm back in business, and
yeah, I
just can't find my glasses. I always have problems.
Yeah, well, she's had a full day of editing, so she's been using her eyes quite a bit today. She's been working on a new novel by Victor Enocker, and it's a day. From what I hear, I heard it's really good, but she's been editing all day. I've been working in the office all day. I had my writing session in the AM and into the early afternoon. And it was, so yes, both of us we've used our eyes a lot today. Hopefully Daniel's had a little easier day on the eyes. I don't know. Hopefully Daniel's done some more exciting things, maybe.
Daniel's eyes are 200 years old. So.
I don't even really want to talk about phones right now.
Oh, no.
I called the phone company and everything, made sure that this brand-new phone that I was getting would work with their system. Oh, yeah, that'll work perfectly with our system. I can call and make texts with it. It will not get online or do anything like that.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Unless I turn on the Wi-Fi and use a Wi-Fi hotspot, I cannot get online with it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
They never make it easy, do they? I'll tell you. Well, that sucks.
Yeah,
I know.
You had better news.
So
we can hear you.
I am.
So that's good. It's working at least well enough to talk.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, as long as you're not needing to see me and everything, we're fine.
But you do all those Zoom calls and stuff. How are you doing your Zoom calls?
Yeah, that's my big question.
I've been doing them on the computer and using a hotspot with the computer.
Got it. Okay. Good Lord.
Always something. I had a communication with just about everybody because of this.
Oh, wow. We'll try to lift your spirits tonight for an hour.
That is like you're talking about, state of the art. It's got everything from night vision pictures and stuff like that to being able to video and stuff underwater to anything else that you wanted to do basically, but yet it won't get online because they're doing away with the 2G and the 3G towers.
That's right. You got to have 4 or above. Some of my mother's, I had to get her another phone because hers was going to quit working too.
This one has 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G built into it.
Right.
Theoretically, I could get on all 4 of those, things. The 2G blocks out where I can't get on 4G or 5G, which is the towers that I've got out here now.
Oh, man. Well, the phone company should definitely work with you on replacing it then, because they told you it was fine. So I would definitely give them
tell them I have to have it for my business.
Through them. Because I bought it from a third party instead of buying one of their phones. And all of a sudden they required an unlocked phone and everything, and that it was capable of 5G, and like I said, I actually contacted the company prior to me buying this phone, which is the highest dollar phone I've ever bought in my life, and
Oh geez, well we'll do our best tonight to bring you some cheer. Hello to Clayton and Amy McCorkle, who also joined us in the chat room, and be on the lookout, folks, because this weekend, Friday, we're targeting Friday for getting out the first wave of Imaginarium activity for 2023. And we'll have, of course, early bird discounts for expo space and event tickets, and then guest applications will be open. Film submissions will be open and will be open for sponsors. All the basic stuff will be rolling in. And
is the 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary. So, yes. And we're looking forward to that very, very much. And looks like Holly has joined the chat room. So if you want to banter with Holly,
I can't see
the chat room now. She can't see. Well, we're gonna have to figure that out. But I'll go ahead and give you the two parties that brought you tonight's show, and that would be Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and of course, we definitely are excited for Sandy. She gets to go see Duran Duran this month, flying out to see them in concert. So hopefully she'll pop in at some point here and say hi. But, if tonight's the concert night, I doubt it. But we've got Sandy and then also Per Bostet Publications. But here's a little bit from Sandy right now.
Are you looking for an inexpensive vacation plan? There's a lovely bed and breakfast that author Sandy Lender can recommend with her Fairy Holiday series of paranormal romances. Of course, the Rose Chateau is owned by a reluctant vampire. You might prefer a staycay in mid-Missouri with Dr. Noble Galen. Of course, he might be going insane. So Sandy could whisk you away to the fantasy realms of Onveld or Frumshaft, or to outer space where there be dragons of all shapes and sizes. What I'm saying is you have options for all manner of cool and clever creatures in the Girl Power stories by the author Sandy Lender. Take a minute to check out her offerings to see what inexpensive vacation plan you can schedule tonight. There's always a new adventure being announced on Sandy Lender's Amazon page.
Thank you, Sandy Lender, and hope you're doing very, very well tonight out there. And also we've got Per Bostet Publications bringing you tonight's show, and here's a bit about them. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. So with 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.V. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you very much, T. Lee Harris, and Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, the triumvirate of Per Bostet. So coming back to you all as we wait for our caller tonight. Sounds like one of you has something playing in the background. I hear a radio or TV or something in the background, just to give one of you guys a heads up. Not sure who it might be, but...
I have nothing playing.
Okay. I'm just picking it up in the background. We've got we've got Clayton and Amy bantering in the chat room and trying to see if I've missed anything exciting here.
Do they hear it?
Yeah. I don't hear it anymore. It's quiet now. It was just very faint after I got out of the sponsor spots there. So
Okay.
Search something in the background.
Well,
yeah,
it wasn't
it's not
me because of anything to play in the background.
I have nothing. I'm sitting here on my phone trying to get into the chat room on my phone, but that's it. I have a fan.
Yeah.
You may have heard the fan.
Diana heard it, and Clayton also heard it, but he said it just ended. So,
okay. You may have heard the fan. Wait, I had my head turned.
Well,
Who knows? Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, we're in three different locations, so I don't have eyes on everybody.
We don't know what's going on. We're just here.
Yeah. in a big studio, you know, like the big fancy, you know, high budget, you know, podcasts and
right.
everybody gathers in the studio with real expensive mics and everything, but that's not our show. Oh, that's too funny.
That'd be hard to do with Daniel being in Tennessee.
Yeah, it would.
I won't be in Tennessee tomorrow.
Okay, Holly, you might give a little prompt to our guests just to make sure they call in. Yeah, because I'm watching for them. They're not called in just yet. So.
Okay, hang on. I'm trying to solve my chat problem.
Clayton, you're too funny, man.
Holly's going to be up to see me this weekend.
See what?
Yeah.
I always want to see Daniel.
I will be in a place that you're used to being at.
Indiana. Yeah, this
me?
Is the weekend for your cigar convention. So, yes.
Oh, Daniel's you're going to Indiana.
Indiana. Mm-hmm.
Martinsville.
I'm sorry.
To Martinsville, Indiana.
Sorry, I'm going
I'm
to
sorry.
Indiana.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
That's our standard response usually for having to go to Indiana. But
it's the place. You know what I call it? I call it the place of corn and despair. I lived all my life there. I'm talking from experience.
Yeah. Diana's representing tonight the Indiana faction in the chat room there. So. Hey, we got Clayton from Ohio. We got Amy from Kentucky. I've got a few states represented here so far. So good.
Do you know where Martinsville
is? Tommy G. Smith checks in.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
No. Yeah, I couldn't get a good picture.
That's where I'll be at tomorrow.
Nice.
So sorry.
Yeah. Well,
they've got a nice venue up there. It's got a winery. At this one location, it's got a winery, a distillery, and a brewery, all at the same location.
Well, you need to drink to get through the Indiana experience.
Yeah. That's
well,
awesome.
I'm sorry for those of you that listen from Indiana.
I don't have to because of the fact that I go up there, I stay in my motel, I go to the event. I go back to my motel, I go back to the event, I go back to the motel, and then I come home. I'll have cigars all weekend long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's all
about. Good deals. And,
hopefully we'll be making some good purchases up there.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully the report will be good from there. And looks like Diana is giving herself a mullet tonight while listening to our show. So that's a first. We've never had somebody getting their hair cut into a mullet-style hairstyle while listening to the show. And Clayton razzing me. But at least, Clayton, I didn't say you're from Tennessee this time. You know, you remember when I made that blunder many, many, many shows ago. So. I've gotten better. Admit it, Clayton. But but yeah, we're just waiting for our guests tonight.
Is she getting a
hey,
mullet?
Hey, I am. I'm in the chat.
She is in the chat room. It's exciting.
Aha! I do get. I can work it from my phone.
There she is. Clayton's in trouble. Holly can see the chat room.
Uh-oh, I'm here now, Clayton. Oh, I'm here now.
Oh, this will be fun.
Watch out.
Oh, the banter should be good. Join us for sure. And I'm going to go ahead and come over now. It looks like our guest is on deck. And let's see. I'm trying to see which of our two has called in. I think I know. So I'm going to just give a gander here and give a great traditional Star Chamber show introduction. And our first guest entering the chat room tonight, we have two, and definitely I'm excited. I just love this guy. And he is one of the founders of Jumpmaster Press, a fantastic independent press with products such as Jump Cart and Jump Cart ID. He is also an award-winning author and has won not one but two Pinnacle Book Awards and is also the winner of an Imagine Award. And, of course, by now you're probably figuring out who I'm speaking of. And, yes, the one, the only, welcome back to the show, our Kyle Hanna. Kyle, are you there? We got you.
Hey!
Dude, I'm here, and that may be the best introduction I've ever had. Cool.
I tried.
best introduction you've never had?
Ever. Not never, ever.
Nice. Well, welcome. Good to speak with you again. You've been blown up some
always
conventions recently and all kinds of adventures that I see online. And, of course, we saw you at Imaginarium in person, which is great. As always, and but yeah, definitely great to catch up with you tonight. But we talk about Jumpmaster Press a lot on shows, and so it's great to finally have a chance to have you. And then whenever Gene will be joining us, to talk about the press, and then also about your writing projects, because both of you are very active authors. But what's been tell us what's been going on with you lately. Get us up to speed on Kyle's world.
It's been a little bit of everything, as you can imagine. Writing, editing, releasing. As luck would have it, I just released my latest novel. It's a futuristic crime thriller called 1,000 Cuts.
Ooh.
Nice.
Neat. Well, give us a synopsis.
Well, in fact, I have the proof copy in my hand, so... So Nikki Sanderson is a security expert, and she specializes in the impossible. Now, remember I said this is futuristic, right? So from flood-ravaged Tampa to mile-high antics in Denver, she finds a way to get past any obstacle. But when a mysterious man approaches her with the ultimate challenge, she takes the plunge. Joined by a half-driver and a fighter, she plans and pulls off the heist. They get away clean, or so they thought. The caper leads her down a dark path with dangerous enemies, and her world spirals out of control. On the run, her life is shattered by 1,000 cuts.
Very nice. I'm intrigued.
Well. Is this the first book in a new series, or is this a series, already in progress?
No, it is a standalone. I did two back-to-back trilogies a few years ago, and then I sat down and I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This will be the 7th standalone, I'm actually getting back into a couple of series. I've got 2 or 3 things on the fire right now.
Very nice.
So you're getting a daily word count in, or you just what's your writing habit, or how do you do it every day?
Well, because I am the editor-in-chief of Jumpmaster Press, I spend most of my mornings editing and doing, the business side of being a publisher. You're well aware of what all that means.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take a nice long lunch and, do this and that. And then I'll settle in for a couple hours in the afternoon. And once the spigot turns on, I can usually knock out about 1,000 words an hour. So I go for about 2,000 words a day.
Very nice.
Okay. Well, that's a good amount. That's for sure.
I have not
hit that goal in a while because we have so many submissions and so many things going on. But...
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting back into it. I have 3 current projects in the works. I finally narrowed down which one is the one I'm going to work on, and I'm fixing to start cranking out some words.
Nice.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's the thing about running a publishing company and doing all these things like we do, is finding the time to work on your own stuff. That gets difficult. You know, you really have to have a plan and get into a habit. If you do something, they say, how many days is it? It's like, I don't know, 12 days or something like that.
21 days. It takes 21 days to make a habit.
Then it will be a habit, and you'll just do it, just like getting up, brushing your teeth, brushing your hair, putting on your clothes every morning. It'll be a habit. It's just something you do to get into a routine. So that's hard, but that's what, you know, you have to get into. And it makes it even more tricky when we travel as much as we do. You know, you guys are always on the road. So, yeah, it's amazing what you guys get done, because you guys are all over the place. I mean, it's awesome.
There are some long hours here and there. But, you know, in the end, taking care of our authors, taking care of each other, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Do what you love.
Easy.
You never work a day in your life.
That's true.
To me?
But.
Well, I may be retired right now. That doesn't mean I don't bust my butt every day, let me tell you.
I'll just say, you're not retired.
Yeah,
you're just on to the next path.
Oh no, as I'm fond of saying, I'm fond of saying, I'm not just tired, I'm retired.
There you go. That makes more sense. I was going to say, because I know what's involved
it's
in editing.
It's 2.0.
Being an editor-in-chief and freelance editor myself, I know what's involved there. I know what's involved the press side. I know what's involved writing-wise. I know what's involved the exhausting, you know, working a convention all weekend side. And so, yeah, you're not just retired in the conventional sense.
You know, when I signed up for this gig, no one told me it'd be this kind of job. I was like, okay, I just write for a few hours a day. Yeah, no.
Well,
hey, Steve, check the switchboard.
I just saw him, and I was going to say, I didn't want to interrupt Kyle there, but your partner in crime has arrived. Yes. And
I know.
You're going to have you're going to have both the Moses and Aaron of the independent publishing world tonight. Yes, we promise a double feature.
We like to say we're doom and gloom.
Right.
Doom and gloom.
And joining us right now is a nationally recognized voice actor, radio host, award-winning playwright, novelist, and four-time nominee for Audiobook Narration of the Year, Best Voiceover by the Society of Voice Arts and Sciences. And you know who it is, the other half of the Jump Master Press founding team, the one, the only, Gene Rowley. Welcome aboard, Gene. The mic should be on.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Gene.
Hi. I've been sitting here listening to Kyle, and I'm like, he's doing such a great job. I don't know if I should call in, but if he's gloom, I'm doom, so let's get after it.
Let's go. He was doing yes, he's talking about, we're talking about his new book and about all the traveling and publishing and all that good stuff, so... Yeah, what does your normal day look like, Gene? What's your routine?
Right,
you get up. I know you work out. I know you get up like at the crack ass of dawn. And
I do.
Yeah, you
this
do.
True.
You do. So you have a full day. So what does your day look like? How do you get your writing in?
Step one, workout. Step three, make money. That's pretty much something like that. Kyle was right. You know, when you first get into it, you write because you love, and then, you know, when you turn it into a business, it becomes now how do we take what we love and make it profitable, make it a product that people want to consume. And that's kind of the life of the independent author, as you guys know, Steven, especially, is, you know, how do I get this thing that I've created into the hands of people who want to consume it? And then when you've jumped out into the publishing world, you realize that you start doing that for literally everybody else. And there's a lot of misconceptions about publishers specifically. Now, back to your question,
mm-hmm.
how do I get my writing done? It is like whenever I get a moment above water, I sit down, I put my headphones on, I jam Metallica, I turn the lights off, and I bang my face across the keyboard. Yeah, that's my routine. And people,
oh, my God.
Well,
go ahead.
People always ask. They're like, you know, do you like people like candles? They have a ritual. I love metal.
Uh-huh.
I love hardcore metal, right? I'm a metalhead. So
mm-hmm.
I can
like
literally turn on metal, put on my headphones, and the world goes away,
mm-hmm.
and then I can get consumed in the world that I'm creating. That's how I do it.
Steve was blaring it so loud today, I'm like, God, he's going to be deaf. I mean, it was blaring, and it was some heavy shit. I don't even know what he was listening to, but my God. Yeah, it was blaring in there, because when he's in his writing room, I never bother him unless, you know, I'm dying or something like that. But, yeah, I just let it go. There's fire too
then,
bad. Let
like,
him write.
I don't know if I should. I'm having a heart attack. I'll wait.
I'll wait. I'm not going to disturb him while he's jamming. But there's a show it reminds me of. It reminds me of, Steve, what is it? It's Sing, Blood. How does that go, Steve, on
Blood,
Evil,
candle,
the show?
Candle, Blood, Sing, yeah.
Candle, Blood, and Sing.
Evil.
I don't know if you're familiar with the show Evil.
No.
Well,
yeah.
it's great. And there's this character,
yes.
Leland, who is like Satan personified. He is demonically possessed,
yep.
but he's deliciously
yeah.
evil. You have to like this character. You can't help it. He's always so happy
yeah.
about being so evil.
Yeah, he's
you know?
Cheerful.
And
he does everything. Yeah.
He's cheerfully evil, and it's just a great character. And
absolutely
and he the psychiatrist wants to write a book, right? So he says, well, you sing Alouette, you know, you get a candle, you light it, you drip some blood on your laptop, and you sing Alouette. And so he does this, and then all of a sudden, he just starts typing away. You know?
Yeah.
Channels.
Yeah, channels.
See, so that's sort of what you guys do, you know?
Not
the candle, the
blood. No blood is involved, and I don't usually understand.
Yeah, I always tell people you got to get out of your own way in order to write.
Yep.
You got to get out of your own way. I was talking with an author today.
Mm-hmm.
She just finished her fantasy novel. And it's about 82,000 words, right? It's about the normal size. Some people write more.
Yeah.
You try not to write
about
less.
Right.
80 is about it. And she was like, well, I hope, you know, it's at a level when it's ready to be published. And I told her, I was like, you're on step 7. Today you should be happy that you did what most people can't. So, like,
right.
just
finish it.
You know, revel in the fact that you got to the end. And,
uh-huh.
and you're done, right? You got to that point.
Right on.
And because if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? And it's hard. This is what
yep.
it's called work for a reason, because all the
mm-hmm.
other four-letter words
mm-hmm.
are taken.
Yeah,
it's not just a hobby. It is work, you know.
It's
and
work. It is. Yep.
A lot goes into it.
And then when you're
it.
Done, there's more work. And then when you're done, there's more work. You've
yep.
got to find places
to
put
it.
You got to go to cons, and you got to do the traveling, and you got
mm-hmm.
to figure out your budget. And, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, I go to a con, I sell 5 or 10 books, and yay. And for some independent authors, that's great. For a publishing company, no. No, we're like, hell no. No. No, we want.
No, never
ends. I want 300 to 500 a weekend. Like, let's go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It never ends. It honestly
it never
doesn't.
Ends.
You know.
It does not.
And then we're constantly innovating, right? We're constantly coming
right.
up with new stuff. And you know, you're the first people. I'm like, okay, I got to reach out to you know Seven Star and the podcast, and I got to reach out to Imaginarium, and because the first thing I do is I wonder if this is something we've seen success with it. And I'll tell you. Just something about me as a person. There is nothing I like better than creating a new prototype product, except when I sell that prototype product.
Right.
when my prototype is so good, it's literally ready for the market. Oh, guys, I'm telling you, there's no thrill better than doing that. I talk to Kyle all the time. I'm like, hey, I got an idea for this. Oh, here we go again, right, Kyle? Here we go again.
I'm always, okay, this, you know, oh, my God, and how much is this going to cost me? Those are my first two thoughts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the thing about it is I don't wait. I'm never idle. So people are like, oh,
no.
My God, you get 10, 11 hours sleep a day. I'm like, yeah, I do. I have to because I burn so much during the day. I don't watch TV. That's why I probably haven't seen a TV show. But it's like, hey, mm-hmm. You know, I got an idea to do this. Kyle, I think I'm going to try to do this thing. And like 2 days later, I'm holding that product in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already prototyped it two or three times, and it took me a couple of hours. I played around with it, bing, bang, boom, and I've got it in my hand. I'm like, I wonder if I can sell this. And then the next day I'm selling it. And it's not even the full production model. People are like, oh, that's great. How much is that? $80. Yeah, let me get 20 of them.
Right.
He's
speaking from experience because what he's about to tell you, we literally just did it this past weekend.
Yeah, exactly what we did. Yep, we went to a convention. I sat the product on the table, and I said, we're taking pre-orders on this. Oh, great. Let me have one. That'll be $80.
There you go. There you go.
And nice. I didn't even give them the prototype. They just bought it looking at the prototype. They don't even know what the production version is going to look like. I'll be honest.
I don't know
what the production version is going to look like.
Now, we've been talking about this for 3 minutes, and no one knows what it is we're talking about. Gene, spill the beans.
So we've come up with a very easy, relatively inexpensive way to do special edition box sets for our trilogies, our series, and things like that. And they are absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful. I was just downstairs and I was telling my son-in-law about them, and he's an engineer, so he's trying to figure out, you know, how to do it cheaper. And I'm like, nah, man, I pretty much got it down. It took me about 20 minutes and I had a box. And then I go and I talk to my friends. One person's got the cutter and the other person's got the printer and so on. And they don't understand.
Right.
They kind of get stuck in their little mentality of, oh, this is what that machine does. And I was talking with the guy who made the machine that does the box cutting cardboard thing. And he goes, you're doing what? I said, yeah, I'm making box sets out of them for books. Well, that's not what I designed my machine to do. And I'm like, I don't care what you designed it to do. I'm telling you what I'm going to do with it.
It can do. Right.
Yeah.
It's what it can do. Right.
Oh, and then I'm going to get other people to pay me for it. So,
there you go.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that's how we do it. And
that's awesome.
Kind of the essence of how Kyle and I do business. Yeah. It is, we never sit back. We never, everything's got to change. Everything, it's constant innovation. Every time we set up our convention booth, it's better. It's bigger. It's better. It's taller. It's something.
And what's so ironic about this is, what, 2 weeks ago maybe, we looked at each other and went, you know, we've had the jump cards. That was the first product. The jump card IT
mm-hmm.
e-books.
Right.
Which you guys are familiar with. That was literally
right.
a weekend. That was literally a weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, what's the next big thing? I asked him that like 2 weeks ago. What's the next big thing? And here he is popping out box sets left and right. That's the next thing. That's the next innovation. And literally it was, you know, within 2 weeks of me asking, what's the next thing? That's how it goes.
What's the next thing? That's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into a guy today who does like placement. Well, his friend does placements in big box stores. And I'm like, that's the guy I need to talk to. When can I go play golf with this person? Because we need to do some business. But there are people that do that. And I'm like, yes, let's do that. Right. Because we're, you know, you got to crack the code. We're getting out into coffee shops with our books. We're getting it in our ebooks and our audiobook products. We're getting into more bookstores. But it's like the industry itself is so contained. Kyle and I are not corporate people, and we don't really work well in that environment. And I understand the need for some of it, but like we're more of the, would you get out of the way and let us be successful? And I feel that within the publishing industry and self-publishing especially, first of all, I say this many times, publishing is predatory. And if people don't have their head on a swivel and their eyes open and they understand, they're going to get taken advantage of. We all heard the horror story of, you know, the publisher that takes you to the bank for $5,000 or $10,000. So publishing is predatory.
Right.
But the other thing is predatory is publishing is protective, right? Every time someone buys somebody else's book, they're not buying mine is the mentality. And that all has to change. And that's all the corporate mentality of if they don't spend their money with me, they're going to spend their money with my competitor. And the fact of the matter is the pie is big enough for everybody. So what Kyle and I want to do is we want to partner with nobody's our competition. We don't have any competition. We have partners and we have people that don't want to partner with us. That's it. I don't consider any of them competition. If they don't buy my book, I want them to buy Steven's book. If they don't buy his book, I want them to buy Kyle's book. That mentality is something new and different. And I think that's why people are flocking to us. I mean, we only take submissions once a year in August. And by like the 3rd of August, we had what, 20 submissions?
Yeah, I've got
we're getting like 10 a week. We're going to have 100 submissions in August, and we're going to go through and publish what, 2-3 of those?
And the
rest of them were like, okay, let's work together to get your book publishable. You know, it might not be with us, it might be with someone else. But then there are the people who are like, oh, you rejected my book. You're the worst human being on earth. And that's not the right mentality.
Right. You can't think of it that way.
Like we said earlier, it's a job. It's a job.
Uh-huh.
And it's work. Uh-huh. And you know, we do it because we love it. And we still got to, you know, there's more products out there. There's more stuff to do, more work to do.
Well, there is. And the point is, books are an ongoing thing. I mean, it's just like if you make body products, for instance, you're going to want more. You're obviously going to use them. You know, books are the same way. It's not something you're just going to – you reread a book maybe, you know, once every great while, but usually a person reads a book one time, put it on a shelf, they go to another one and another one and another one, and it on and on and on. So, you know, if they don't buy your book this time – and buy somebody else's, well, that don't mean they're not going to come back around and buy yours the next time. You know, they go through them. And there's avid readers that go through them quickly. So, the pie is definitely big enough for everyone.
So this weekend in Knoxville, we had a woman come by. Her name was Angela. I'm going to go ahead and call her out. She was amazing. She had her husband and her son with her. And the son was, I don't know, you know, mid-20s, late 20s. So the dad was probably easily mid-50s to late-50s. So Angela comes up, and the son is looking at the books. The dad's looking at the books. And the dad is just kind of being really standoffish. And the son is the reader. So Angela buys a couple of books for her son, Chris, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the husband, John, wow, what a memory. John says, okay, well, I'll get a couple of books. So she bought books for both her husband and her son. And then, of course, they wanted to meet some of the authors and get a headshot, you know, that kind of stuff. So we were joking, Angela and I. She says, I'm buying books for these guys, and I'm not getting a book. And I said, okay, well, you know, if you want one, we got a whole bookstore. Come back. So she goes and gets her headshot signed, gets a picture and everything. And I gave her a photo. I gave her a free headshot from the author that we had there. So she comes back the next day and buys, like, 5.
There you go. Yeah.
So
that's
and we
it. Because
like, okay,
she got
well,
to thinking about it.
Yep. We were in Tupelo, Mississippi. Tupelo, Mississippi. Woman comes up. She's in a wheelchair, and she's like, "I've got surgery on my knee, and I've got a lot of. I read a lot, so give me one of everything." And it was, you know, literally, she bought one. She bought literally every book we had, and then we were like,
"Good God,
is this enough?" No, it's not. Okay, well, that's my friend Bill. Go buy all his books. And that's my friend Kevin. Go buy all his books. And when you're done there, go over to that table. And that's what she did. And then Bill comes by, and he's like, man, thanks for that. Well, she needed more books.
Right.
The pie is big enough.
She bought all those. She needed more books.
Yeah, the pie is big enough.
And,
And per the deal, I boxed him up and carried him to her car for her.
And I named a character after her. That's how we roll.
There you go. And that's how it is, you know. We're not competitors, we're collaborators.
Darn right.
And
we're partners.
And that's how we roll.
I just wish I could write as much as Steven. I sit down to write, I'm like, I'm happy when I get to, you know, half a chapter done. And he's over here cranking out. I saw a guy on Facebook who wrote 80,000 words in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
When did you sleep?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't do
well,
that.
Well, that's it. Steven writes sometimes, you know, he'll have a 4 to 5 hour session some days, you know.
I wrote one day. I sat down. It was a Sunday. I put my headphones on at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I think I wrote for 12 hours. And I wrote 9,000 words that one day. And I've never done it again since because, I mean, I'd rather jump off a bridge than do that again. But it is doable.
Yep.
But, yeah, I couldn't do it every day. You got to get up and go to the bathroom. It just, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. 1,000, 1,500 words a day. If I get 2,000 words a day, it is a banner day.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, what's your chunk, Kyle?
1,500 to 2,000 words a day.
And Stephen, what's yours?
It usually takes to two to two and a half hours.
Yeah.
Lately, it's been about 2,500 to 3K, somewhere around there. So, I mean, on
a
an
session?
Average, sometimes a little less. Yeah, yeah.
Man,
a session,
I'm
yeah.
jealous. 3,000, just to 2,000 words
but
a day
I will
in
say
a month
I've
and a half, you got a novel.
Yeah. I have been
well,
improved lately, though. So,
and you know, as writers, we always get asked, you know, what advice do you give? And I always say, if you want to write a 70,000 word book, set your goal at 1,000 words. In 70 days, you're done. Look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all you aspiring writers out there, set your goal, set your writing goal, 1,000 words a day, 70,000 word book. In 2 months, you're done, and then you can start the editing process. If you look at it like that, it's not the unattainable challenge that you think it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Break it down into smaller chunks. If
right.
you have a day
chunks.
That you write 2,000 words, well, then you're even closer. You know, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just break it down into chunks so it doesn't seem so overwhelming.
Yeah.
The fantasy novel I wrote several years ago, I knocked it out in 40 days. 2,000 words a day, it's an 80,000 word book.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Absolutely.
40 days.
Very nice.
I think my shortest writing set, my shortest from concept to submission, I think was 6 months. That's the fastest I've ever turned one around. And that's not going to happen anytime soon. Ever again.
Yeah,
I'm trying to finish one.
Too much going on.
I'm trying to finish one by the end of the year. I don't even know if I can do that. I think I should be able to get it done. I'm going to get a good year in about 3 weeks. So I've got a week off, and I'm just going to plow through it.
Gene, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to finish that by the end of the year.
I know. I had people walk up this weekend. They walked up this weekend, and they were like, I need you to finish that one and that one. The sequels to both those. And I'm like, you're going to get that one. You might get that one maybe by December.
Right.
By con season next year, you might get both. But you're definitely going to get that one. And I've had people asking me for book three in the Paradox series for 2 years now, I think. And I'm like, every now and then, I write a little bit on it, and then I go back to the one I want to write.
The more you get out this year... More you can enter
into
the Imagine Awards for the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, get those
I'm trying.
22 releases
oh,
back in there.
Is that next year, 10th anniversary?
I'm trying, 10th anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're
so,
going to
yeah,
have
yeah,
a...
get everything out by December 21st.
Big 10, baby, Big 10.
I can tell you from our release schedule, and this is going to be a scientific term, you're going to have a crap ton of submissions next year.
Yeah.
Heck bring them out. Bring them.
I missed submission deadline this year. I'm not going to do that again. you're going to get.
Yeah, I got to stay on you this year. I'm staying on you.
You're going to get.
Yeah,
every
weird,
year,
yeah, not having
two
a
really.
Bunch of your authors, yeah, coming in there.
Well,
yeah, we
got to
get your authors
every,
in there.
Mm-hmm. Every 2022 well, release, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get 16 submissions from there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had children's books, sci-fi already, some great fantasy, murder mystery.
Yep.
I mean, we've run the gambit this year already, and it's only August.
Yep.
Now, what
and,
is your release schedule
you guys,
like?
You have an anthology. If there's an anthology section, we're going to submit three.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
We have three anthologies coming out over the next few months.
Yep.
Nice. What is your volume like right now? Because Kyle mentioned you guys have a lot of stuff going on as far as releases. What is the volume like this year?
We were looking at somewhere between, I think, 25 and 30 releases this year.
30, yeah.
Woo-wee!
Yeah. I've got it right here. I don't know how many we've done. It blurs every now and then.
I think we're around half.
Around half? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me pull it up. I mean, we're also big metrics. I'm a big metric person. Like I want to see the numbers. Right now. Okay. Well, it's gonna now my computer's gonna be like, oh, Gene, you need this immediately. All right. So we have 20 more to go by the end of the year, which means
holy moly.
Probably, well, like Kyle's book literally went released Monday
pre-sale,
for pre-order.
Pre-sale was yesterday, yeah.
And Eidolon by Graham Page, he lives in London or just outside London. His book, it's the cover is amazing. It goes probably, I'm going to start proofing it. I'm sorry. I think it goes on pre-order next week.
Yes.
And then we've got, book three of the Deceit series. We've got the three anthologies. We've got Philip Ligon's whole series. So, yeah, we've got 20 more in the pipeline by the end of the year, which means we've probably done more
beast.
Like 35. Yeah, we've done about 15 already this year.
Yeah.
Lots of holiday shopping. Wow. Lots of holiday gifts.
While
right there.
And the way it's going, we're looking probably about that many for next year.
Wow.
Next year, we've already got, what is that, 20, hang on, 17. We already have 17 in the pipeline for next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, figure two
months. So let's put it this way. If you submit a book to Jumpmaster Press, it's going to come out 18 months to 2 years from now because our pipeline's jam-packed. And
there's only the two of us, you know, and with Stephen being a writer himself, you guys know, and, you know, you both write. I'll never get my children's series done at this point, but I'm trying. But, you know, I take care of SSP stuff. I'm, you know, that editor, as long with Stephen, you know, being for SSP books. So I added his. I added, you know, a lot in our SSP family. And then I have Imaginarium. So, yeah, I mean, finding the time for all this is just insane. It does take a village, honestly. And what you guys are cranking out, that's what I said. We're going to have a meeting, you know, coming up.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Soon. But, the speed at which you guys can go through this stuff and be proficient and come up with new stuff, it's just amazing to me. And travel like you do and, you know, do all these things, it's just amazing. And my hats are off to you, and I applaud you because I feel like some days I need about three more of me, and I might get something done, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. I need three more Kyles.
Yes. Kyle is a beast.
He's a beast.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kyle?
Yeah, the editing. Yeah, being in, yeah, Kyle.
I might have to borrow Kyle. You might have to start loaning him and then put him on loan for a few days here and there, and I'll steal him away for a few days.
Cloning.
you guys need to stop. I'm blushing. Stop it. I'm blushing.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. So why mm-hmm. don't you guys do more conventions?
We want to.
Time.
Time.
It's time, Gene. Honest to God, it's time. Because, well, not only do we have all this, you know, going on with the Imaginarium, with the press, because we are backlogged like insane. I mean, Steve's got four books in the pipeline just for me to edit. And then I'm editing one of our SSP authors right now. I've got another one in front of him.
Sure.
And Steven's getting ready to finish another one. So he'll have five in the pipeline. I mean, it's just insane. And he's got two in the pipeline for SSP. But the thing is private lives too, because I've got elderly parents. I'm costing one in Indiana you know, all this other stuff. So a lot of it is time. But I told Steve, if we can start maybe partnering with people or joining people at places, it may be more doable to do more in person because we really need to get out there.
I want to do more.
Yeah. We're kind of the same way. So let me ask you a follow-up question. This is a follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't you guys doing more conventions?
Oh, you're a funny guy. You are a funny guy. You are hilarious. It comes down to if somebody throws me enough money and has sponsorships, you better believe I will organize one and I will program it. And I'd be willing to do it. But it again comes down, a lot of that's to money. You know,
I'm hoping that next year, I know Imaginarium is going to be major success next year. Kyle and I are planning on doing more West Coast cons. So if anybody's listening to the podcast on the West Coast, we're coming next year.
Sweet.
We've got more authors in Europe coming up. We've got one in South America. We toy with the idea of going over to England and doing some shows there. We just spent the weekend with German.
Oh, God. You go to England, I don't care what I have to do or what I have to deal with you. You take me with you. I will edit. I will do whatever you need me to do. I will carry your luggage, whatever I need
Kyle,
to do.
So there you go,
but
Kyle.
It'd be great. There you go. See, Kyle, I'll be your pocket mouse.
Okay.
Got it, Kyle.
There you go.
Got it. Yeah.
So there you go.
You
got it.
Imaginarium.
It would be great to take an Imaginarium to London. Could you imagine? As I said, if I had the money, I'm not opposed to doing one. Wouldn't that be cool? Imaginarium UK.
London.
Dream big. Dream big.
Why not? But your guys' show is awesome, and you guys are a traveling road show. I mean, even your scaled down one is beautiful, but when you guys do the full blown booth, I mean, my God, it's a storm.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, people
It's been a work in progress, and we've always wanted to go more trade show than author table. And when we filled up the author tables, we couldn't pile any more books on them. We decided to, what's the next step? And I want a floor, and I want it to feel like a bookstore. And so that's when we came up with the traveling bookstore concept of, hey, guys, come on into the bookstore. Well, what does a bookstore have? A bookstore has a floor, and a bookstore has shelves, bookshelves and bookcases. And it feels like a store. And we have a little sales register. You know, we do that. And then when we have several authors come by and they sit and do signings at our pop-up bookstore. That's the whole concept. Yes, you're going to a convention, a Comic-Con or a pop culture convention or Imaginarium.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, we can put a bookstore. We can put a bookstore anywhere. We have one of our authors who had a bookstore in California. She did a pop-up bookstore in a car dealership while her car was getting an oil change, and she sold books. Like in the lobby. So the whole concept is you could pop up a bookstore anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we talk to authors about is, you know, what is the next step for you? Don't get stuck in square one. Mm-hmm. Figure out what square two is. Check the boxes to get to square two. a lot of us get stuck in square one.
And it's go ahead.
I was going to say our next square is we're going to try something different next year. Instead of our normal 10 by 10 or 10 by 20, we're doing a 20 by 20 island at a couple of shows.
Yep.
We're going to have an entire 20 by 20 section of a con floor where you can literally come all the way through the bookstore, browse the shelves on both sides, just like, you know, think of a library where you got bookcases on
like
both sides of you. And you're just going to walk down the aisle, choose your books, and go check out. I mean, it's the next, you know, iteration of the traveling bookstore.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Now, are you going to have the covers faced in the front, or is it going to be just the binder?
Both. We do both. We typically do three or four spines, and then the book, and then we have the front of the books. So every book is fronted. We can do three books across, and we've got it all kind of figured out. And I've been drawing well, how can I move tables around to maximize space and let people sit? I've thought about bringing, you know, big cushy chairs to conventions. People can just sit in a big chair and sit back and read.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I got 1,500 people, 3,000 people walking around. I got 1, 2, 3 people sitting in a chair. That's you know, we'll get there. It's I want that bookstore feel, and that's what we've accomplished. And we've accomplished a lot in, you know, the 4 years we've been doing this. But it's always the next level. And Kyle's right. I'm looking forward to the 20 by 20 convention size, because that's the next level up. And it, again, sets us apart as, hey, these guys are something different.
Well, I'd really like to see that at the 10th anniversary of Imaginarium. I would really love it, because your spot, you have a spot there, and you have room to play. We can chit-chat. You have room to play.
We're definitely going to do the 20 by 20 10 by 20 next year at Imaginarium. Mm-hmm. You know, this year we decided to scale down, but then one of our partner publishers moved in with us, so we did that. We did a larger corner. So, I mean, Kyle and I were this year at Imaginarium, we were like, yeah, we should have brought the full bookstore. The other thing is the reason we did the scaled down version this year at Imaginarium, it was just his books and my books. That was two authors represented.
Oh, yeah. I know. You didn't bring the Jumpmaster Press.
No,
I know. It's just you two.
We have 60 titles in our bookstore, and we brought like 16. So we scaled it down a little bit. Next year we're gonna bring the full Monty. We're gonna bring the full show.
Hell yeah!
To Imaginarium, and everybody's seen it before. We did it 2 years ago, and it's just it's the wow factor. People walk up and they go, "Ooh, okay, that's different."
But if it's the 10th anniversary, we're gonna go all out.
Yeah,
I'll bring in some other authors too. We'll make it a show.
Yes,
we'll make it a show.
Yeah, we'll,
yes.
We've got some. We'll bring in three or four authors and just kind of hang out and have fun.
Heck yeah.
But think about Imaginarium is it's already a room. It's a room. It's a hotel full of authors, talented people that are all talking about their books and things like that. You know, us bringing authors in is we'll talk about it. I think it'd be fun. We're gonna have a good show.
Yeah.
Look, the 10th anniversary, you got to make it a big deal. And if you can count on anybody to make it a big deal, it's Jumpmaster Press. We'll always make it a big deal.
There you go. Yeah, we've already got stuff in the works. I mean, you know, we started before this Imaginarium, because obviously it's the 10th anniversary. But, yeah, that's where my time will be spent the next year is Imaginarium. But, I still got to do press stuff too. But, yeah, I really want the 10th anniversary to go huge. You know, we got to do something really special and a lot of neat twists and turns. So, I'm definitely going to be reaching out, and we're going to have a lot of talks between now and then, between you guys and us and a few other publishers, and, you know, get them to really ramp it up. But and another thing I appreciate you all doing is that you stand a lot. You have like a podium, And even when it was just you and Kyle, you stand, you greet people, you engage with people, and we stress it over and over and over to a blue in the face with authors. Do not sit behind your tables, buried in your phone, in your computer, not making eye contact. People are just going to walk right past you. You know, I know you're, you know, a lot of people are introverts, but this is a business. You are your brand. You have to sell you. So you have to make eye contact, be engaging, be, you know, hey, you know, what do you read? Do you like to read? What, you know, well, hey, I got just the series for you, you know. Talk to them.
Yeah.
And
well,
you'll sell books.
So we talk about that. So, you know, we have a monthly seminar, and we've done classes on sales and marketing and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Weird how we do classes on marketing. And that's one thing we tell people is if you are – some people are natural salespeople. Some people aren't. We can teach you the techniques, and we've learned the techniques. And we tell everybody, you know, you go to any author convention like Imaginarium, what you see is you'll see some people trying to do something different, and then you'll see the majority of the crowd all doing the exact same thing.
Right.
And
they're not selling the books.
And they're not selling books. Yeah.
And then they're wondering why.
Right.
Well,
they're selling.
You've got to sell
you. They're selling fewer books. They're selling fewer books.
Correct. Correct.
I'll never forget. I think his name is Joseph, the guy with the silver dollar.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, great guy. And I sat and talked with him for a while, and you know, interested in his book, and he's got a very unique concept for a story. And then he thought he was doing something very unique with his sales and talking to potential buyers of his book. And this year he did it differently. This year he came to learn. Last year he came to try something, and he realized that wasn't working. And this year, I got to give him credit. This year he came, and he came to actually just learn what works, what doesn't, and to tailor what he does for his book and his presentation to sell more books. I give him credit.
There you
and
go.
If it wasn't for Imaginarium, he wouldn't be able to do that. So who knows?
That was Joe Eisenberg. Well, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Super nice guy.
He is.
His concept.
He is. And he tries.
And he learns. He's such a unique concept. His concept for his novel was so unique. I was talking with other authors. But I think the lady was next to us with the cupcakes. Amazing cupcakes, by the way.
Yes, my friend. My friend, yes.
And it was two years ago, whatever it was. And I was telling her, I was like, I hope he's here. Let me tell you about his book. And of course I screwed it all up. And then he walked by. I was like, oh my God, that's the guy. Tell her about your book.
That's him.
So he did. And she's like, I've never heard anything like that. I was like, I told you, it's so out there. So creative. It's, you know, it's like mad scientist creative level, right?
Yeah.
We're all storytellers. That's mad scientist crap going on over there in his mind. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's a gem. He truly is.
I love
Joe. He's awesome. Yeah. He'll be back. Yeah. He'll be back next year. So.
Yep.
Oh, he'll be back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he will. And that's part of the that's the whole thing with going to writing conferences and places like Imaginarium is to learn and to my favorite thing to really hone in on is networking. Networking is invaluable. I mean, truly. That's how we met with you guys and, you know, how many years have we known each other now? 3 years, 4 years?
Three.
It seems like a long time.
Yeah, 3 years.
Three years.
Seems like a lot longer.
Yeah.
We love you guys. But,
We've been doing this for four years.
We met you. Yeah.
and one of those.
We still ain't got that Corvette, though. We need that Corvette that you promised to give Steve a ride in, remember?
Need is such a strong word. I still want the Corvette. I do, but I don't want to wait. And you know it's like a 2-year wait now for that stupid car.
I know.
I'm just gonna just if I had one character flaw, Kyle, don't answer this question. It's that I don't wait. I don't like to wait for anything. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't rush.
Not one of our virtues.
Yeah, no.
Mine neither. Well, I have the same problem.
It's not true. Patient, we are patient. Like load in and load out of conventions, you have to be patient. This last one, I was a little
impatient.
But I don't like Kyle. How long did you wait for your last car? Your truck was what? A year?
I waited six months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. See, 6 months is nothing. That's how long it takes me to write a book. 2 years for a Corvette.
If you ordered it two years ago, it'd have been this year. See, there you go. You got to look at it and those kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And if it had started 5 months ago, he'd be done with
all right.
it. So, you know.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
So if I show up at Imaginarium in a Corvette, even a rented one,
mm-hmm.
Stephen, does that make it? Okay.
That's nice. Oh, man.
Well, I mean,
it will make it fine.
The museum going up there, so might as well.
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, my son's obsessed with Corvettes, Noah, so he'd be right out there. He'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first Corvette that Steve and I fit in, because we're not little men, so we when they moved the engine from the front of the car to the back of the car, that they made a car we could fit in. I've never fit in a Corvette previously. Yeah.
Too funny.
Yeah, it'd be hard to get my legs in there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're all
see,
tall.
My legs are 5 feet long.
Kyle could flop around in there like a fish in a bathtub, but we're all like a monkey on a roller skate if we get in the Corvette. It just doesn't work for people like, right? We're tall.
Like us. Yeah, we're big. We're big people. We're tall, long-legged.
Yeah,
we, you know, there's a lot going on. Yeah.
You know, if it was anyone else, I would be offended, but I'm not, so it's okay.
We love you,
Kyle. Oh, man.
We love you. I love all 4 foot eight of you, brother, or 5'1", or whatever you are.
Thanks, Gene. Thanks, Gene.
This is why we're a good partnership. We've been friends for a long time.
Hey, Gene, you can always steal my, if you're tired of loading in and out, just steal my concept for the cigar business and do a bookstore.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So, wait a minute. Now, what is your concept for the cigar business?
He has a trolley.
I took an old trolley bus and converted it into an Edmonton smoke shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, genius, by the way. Genius. Kyle and I have actually talked about it. You know, we have the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We have the trailer, and we've thought about if we got a bigger trailer, we could just make it a bookstore. And then
I think we talked about this with you before.
Yeah.
We've talked about taking the... You know, a bookstore on the road, because literally we get like a bus and we redo the inside. It's we could travel all over for weeks at a time.
So you know those RVs that have two sets of stairs.
Yeah,
renovate. So you have an entrance and you have an exit and a bed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how the bed plays into the bookstore, but I'm sure when the bookstore is closed, we just, you know, you could crash in the thing. But in the living space, you could make that into a small bookstore. You come in this way, do a little shopping, go out, exit through the gift shop, as they say, and then, you know, there you go. Most RVs have one set of stairs. I love the school bus idea. I love the school bus, though. That's
– Yep.
I love – it can be a little Reading Rainbow school bus. Is that copyrighted? Can I say Reading Rainbow without getting sued by LeVar Burton?
No, I think you could say Reading Rainbow type.
Okay,
good.
Because
if you go he won't come after you. But,
okay, good.
I need to write LeVar Burton. Now you gave me an idea, damn it. Anyway, I write everybody. I talk to everybody. school buses, if you go on like Pinterest or I follow a lot of people on TikTok that have converted school buses into just all kinds of cool stuff. And I mean, you think they got an entrance, right? You've got the, you can have the register and everything right there up front. And then you could have some reading area in the back toward the exit. And you, or you could even put the cash register thing back there. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the exit. So, yeah, you could put all the books and stuff in between. I mean, there's people doing, like, lofts in them. So you could put, like, a sleeping space even up above. I mean, it's crazy what people have come up with.
Guy in Tupelo, he and his wife have been, they're the Vault 101 people, the Fallout. They have, you know, the big blue vehicle and the the zombie vehicle.
Yeah, they've been to Imaginarium. They came several years ago when we were at the old convention. But
they only had the little bus then. They had like a little Volkswagen bus.
Right.
Now
we drove it right
size,
in the main hall.
They now have a full size school bus.
Mm.
Oh yeah, so they've upgraded massive. Yeah. And they live
in
it. Like, that's their RV, and they travel around con, do cons and stuff like that.
Well,
so,
we need to get them back for the
10th
anniversary.
RV trailer or RV bookstore is that'd be a no-kidding traveling bookstore. Yeah.
Well, the trailer is a, unless it's like a fifth wheel or something like that, but just a box trailer is really impersonal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're convenient and everything, but they lack that personality.
I'll put a window in.
Where,
put a window in.
You get the bus that you want. You do everything like that. You do all the interior of it to what is part of you.
It's a great idea. Would you loan me $60,000 so I can get that done?
Trust me. If you want it to have if you want this thing to have personality, just challenge Gene. It'll have all the personality in the universe.
This is true. Nobody's ever accused me of being boring.
I could give it a bohemian flair. There you go.
I could see Gene's on the inside of it look like a big circuit board with neon lights and everything.
If they could shoot. They could shoot the next Star Wars movie in whatever I create. I can tell you that.
It'd
be cool. I would make it.
We can have a bar like the Star Wars bars with the kooky characters.
Yes.
Yeah, you give me ideas.
Come on into the canteen and grab a book. Yeah.
Yes! Oh my God, the portable canteen.
Yeah,
that could be cool. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It'd have to be mock cocktails, though, because traveling state to state, you'd have different laws, obviously. So it'd have to be mock cocktails.
Well,
nah. Laws are for taxpayers.
Get licensed in each state.
That's what Daniel. Poor Daniel gets in trouble. He can't bring his trolley to Imaginarium.
What?
No. Because he can't sell cigars out of it. Because you got to have, I guess, permits, Daniel, or something.
Well, we have
city sales license.
Every state that we go to.
Yeah. Even some cities cities retail licenses. It's stupid. But I do a lot of food truck stuff. They get them. They have to be licensed in the city. And it's like, get out of here, man.
Yeah.
The guy's making tacos.
No, no.
You can make tacos anywhere. Come on.
Yeah, the food truck. Right. Yeah, I was thinking food trucks, That's always been a problem out west.
But Daniel, maybe we could figure out something that'll be cost effective where you could bring your trolley. Oh, my God, if you could bring the trolley to the 10th anniversary, just think how many cigars you could sell. And you sell your books out of the trolley. I mean, it's a win-win.
Daniel, I got it.
Get him licensed.
I got it. My alarm keeps going off. Daniel, rename the cigars to something else.
Ooh.
Like
pleasures.
I'm what are you selling out there? I'm Cuban lollipops.
Or Galactica thing, call them Cumarillas.
Yeah. Just rename them.
You
know what? Yeah. They can't come after you if they're confused. Let's put it that way. Keep them confused.
That's great.
Bookmarks. They're just bookmarks. I don't know what you're talking about.
They're all natural, handmade.
Bookmarks.
Three-dimensional round bookmarks.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a pleasant scent. You light. Look, it's like incense. You light one end.
It's magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's magic. Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
It's all in the wording.
Yep.
Jake, can I get a Rocky Patel bookmark, please? Thank you. Appreciate that. Can I get a Rocky Patel Cuban lollipop? Make it two. I'm feeling lucky.
Awesome. Well,
see Daniel, we solved the problem.
Yes, we do.
A place of the islands.
Yep. We've got about 10 minutes, a little less, 9 minutes left, so I want to definitely give the guys a chance to say, we know you got a lot of titles coming out this fall, but where are you going to be going on your awesome tour schedule? What kind of stuff you got coming up this fall? Where are you going to be?
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you want to flip a coin? Go ahead.
Our next show is Ancient City Con, St. Augustine, Florida. That's September 16, 17, and 18, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be at one of our authors puts on his own show, Next Chapter Con in Ringgold, Georgia. We'll be there the 1st of October. And after that, we're pretty much off until probably March. We like to take the winter off so we can concentrate on getting caught back up. And you know, in some instances, like writing, try to get ahead for the year and submit all of these books to someone for awards.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
But, you know, we do have a few standards we try to do every year. Tupelo, Huntsville Pop Culture, Imaginarium, you know, we'll be there for those.
Mm-hmm. How big has the Huntsville Pop Culture been running, guys? How big you say it was this year?
I think this was the 7th or 8th year. I've been there every year but the first. And it has grown every year. I would say at least 10,000 people this year.
Nice.
I would love to hit that one someday because, well, my love of Gulfport, Mississippi, it never ends. I love Gulfport. My brother lived there for most of his life, and he's passed on now. But I still got a nephew down there, and I just love the Gulf. And the closer I am, the better. You know, I could buzz and do a convention and then buzz on down a little bit further south and take a few days at the beach.
Yeah, we're for 2023. We're already looking at Columbus, Ohio. We're looking at Chattanooga. We're obviously going to do Imaginarium 10th anniversary. Woo, go team!
Woo!
And we're going to sweep the awards. So I mean, just literally, don't even.
Well, you will be in big contest with Mr. Joseph Williams.
Oh yeah,
William Joseph, because Three Ravens Press, they cleaned it up this year, man, and he's like, we're coming next year.
Well, it's gonna look. What? It's all in fun. Like we partner with them too, and if
heck yeah, I love them. Love them.
Big enough. We love Three Ravens. Good friends of ours. Great writers. It was fun to see them.
Love them.
We're looking at doing more out west.
They can win one or two. We'll take the rest. It's fine.
There you go. Take it.
The gauntlet is
give
the
them a couple.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
We did Kansas this year. I don't know if we're going to do Kansas next year. Indianapolis last year. We didn't do it this year. We love Knoxville. Knoxville's a good show. We do a couple shows in Orlando, some Mississippi, you know, Alabama Comic Con is our home show. But we're looking to do more West Coast shows. We're every year we kind of expand out a little bit. We've been invited to come to New York. We've been invited to a couple different bigger towns like New York Book Show. That's, you know, we did MegaCon Orlando last year, and there was about 50,000 attendees. So we get invited to do some of the bigger shows, but it just it starts to get crazy after a while. We got burned out last year, so we take it easy.
It does.
Take a couple months off. You know, like Kyle said, we catch up, and that means like spend time with our families before they get rid of us. They're like, "Are you still with
that?"
Well,
that's it. It's the life versus I don't know how you'd say it. You've got to take time for things away from the computer too. You know, you got to have life.
Definitely.
You know, you got to have hobbies, you got to have, you know, you got to do stuff for yourself. You got to spend time with your family because time flies, and you got grandbabies. Congratulations.
That's right.
That's
right. I got promoted double grandpa this year. Yep.
Heck yeah. And I've got six of them. So, I just kept one last week. We kept her before she had to start back to school. And Raven is in third grade now. You've met Raven. I don't know if you remember Raven from last year, but she's been an Imaginarium. She will come next year. But Diana, my daughter, wanted to take a year where, you know, she could just come to Imaginarium and enjoy and didn't have to worry about kids. So she came alone this year. But Raven will return. They're great.
Well, I'm just thankful I didn't get the same room I did last year. And because there's one room in that hotel you don't want, and I had it. And all the other rooms are great. All the other rooms are perfect. They're wonderful. They're amazing rooms in that hotel.
I was
going to
say, because we've always had really good ones.
Yeah, you've never had the one I had. And it's the one, if you're sitting in the bar, you can look up and see the window, and it overlooks the lobby. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but you guys like to party a little bit.
Just a
little bit. And that room, all the noise funneled in there. So you can hear everything.
You heard me, right?
When I said everything, I was really talking about you, Holly. That's right. I can hear you.
Exactly. Yeah. I knew it. I knew that. I already knew that.
That's not tough. Yeah.
You know, we met the book pressed people last year. This year. Yeah, we had dinner with them. It was good folks. That was a good time.
Yeah,
looking forward to it next year.
Yeah,
we stay up way past your bedtime.
Yes, you do.
We do.
We're already past my bedtime.
Speaking of which, we love you and appreciate you. And we definitely love you and appreciate you. Now tell our listeners, though, where they connect with the world of Jumpmaster Press so that they can follow you and visit you online.
And buy all of Gene and Kyle's books.
Yes,
buy all of our other great authors. There are 35 authors represented right now at Jumpmaster Press. You can find them at jumpmasterpress.com. Of course, we've got all the social medias. You can watch Kyle's video vlog on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram. We're really pushing Instagram. So follow us on Instagram. You'll see all the great pictures of all of our authors, special messages from, like, Armin Shimmerman played Quark on Deep Space Nine, one of our authors. We talked to Sean Patrick Planner this weekend about some of his books. Potentially coming to Jumpmaster Press. So things are going really well. Find all of it at jumpmasterpress.com. Sign up for our newsletter. And we promise Kyle rarely does the newsletter when he's supposed to, so we promise not to spam you.
That's awesome.
Kyle, any last tidbits?
On your social media or anything like that?
Kyle.
It's simply Jumpmaster Press. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the Jumpmaster Press Writers Group on Facebook. If you want to join us for our seminars, just wherever you're at, type in, you know, do a search for Jumpmaster Press.
Yep.
Got it. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. I just love you guys. Thanks. You're always a blast and definitely one of the best shows within a show at a convention. no
yes.
doubt about that. Yeah, it's
well,
something
thank
else.
You. Thank you. We worked hard to be where we are, and we're glad to be partnered with you guys and Imaginarium. Watch out, 33 Ravens,
okay.
We're coming for those awards next year.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, going down yeah. there too. All right. So have a good night, guys, and we will catch up with you sooner or later. Definitely I'll have you back on the show, definitely before next Imaginarium. So take it easy, and we'll be take us out, Holly and Daniel.
All right, we will catch you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. with another great guest like these two wonders that we just spoke to. Learn a little bit, get encouraged a little bit, and move along your path. And I will pass it along to Mr. Daniel Dark.
And you heard tonight a great piece of wisdom from Gene himself, saying, do not wait on something to happen. You can always make it happen now. So with that in mind, be creative this week and make something happen for you. Until we talk again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing out.